At the Table with Tony is brought to you by Trafe Hustlin. That's www.TRAIFHUSTLIN.com. Your home for all things barbecue.
This is Anthony Campitello from Alfonso's Pastry Shop, and I'm at the table with Tony.
Welcome to At the Table with Tony. I'm your host, Anthony Shelia, but most of you know me as Tony Mangia. Come along with me as I visit the places, meet the people, and eat the food that make many communities in this great country Italian-American. Andiamo! On this episode of At the Table with Tony, I visit Alfonso's Pastry Shop, located on Victory Boulevard in Staten Island, New York. I sit down with owner and master baker, Anthony Campitello. We talk about the history of the pastry shop, as well as how Anthony got involved in the family business. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Welcome to At the Table with Tony. My name is Anthony Shelia, better known as Tony Mangia, and today we're on Staten Island visiting Alfonso's Pastry Shop and its owner and baker, Anthony Campitello. Anthony, thank you so much for welcoming us into your home today.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for coming.
I appreciate this. So I kind of want to talk about the history of the bakery, but I also want to know a little bit about your family. So we're going to start off from the beginning. Can you tell us a little bit about how your family came to settle in America?
Sure. My dad came from Pagani in Salerno, but in Naples. He came here when he was 18 years old. He's worked in various bakeries, and, you know, that was his craft in Italy, and he came here. And he worked at Angelo's Pastry Shop in Brooklyn, and that's where he met my mom.
Oh, wow, okay.
Sales girl, yeah.
So he was the baker, and your mom was the sales girl.
Correct, yeah.
And she's also Italian?
Yes.
Okay, do you know where her lineage is?
They're in the Rome, around Rome,
okay.
Province of Rome.
Okay. Yeah. And so before opening Alfonso's Pastry Shop, your father worked at the Plaza Hotel and the Hampshire House, excuse me. Why did he decide to open his own place? Why did he decide to kind of go out on his own?
I think his ambition took over. More for, like, instead of working for somebody, he wanted to work for himself, of course, the American dream. He came here for one thing, and that's what he proved. Yeah, he came, he opened up his own stores, and...
So the original location of Alfonso's Pastry Shop isn't where we are. We're actually on Victory Boulevard
right
now.
Yeah, we're on Victory Boulevard. It's on Manor Road. It was 943 Manor Road, which is like a half a mile from here.
Okay.
And he rented the store there, and then when he became more successful, he bought this
bought the
property.
Building.
Yeah.
Okay. So, obviously, you grew up in the bakery.
Correct.
So can you share with us some of your childhood memories of growing up in a bakery?
On Manor Road, we lived on Manor Road. We lived right down the block on Lincoln Street, and it was right down the block. So when we were kids, we would get in trouble. My mom would send us to the bakery, and we'd have to work for our penance. And, you know, like as kids, we used to work on, like, cleaning pots and stuff like that. And we used to stand on, like, a steel milk crate and actually wash the pots because we were too small to reach the sink.
Also, tell us some of your first food memories.
Sure.
Obviously, growing up in an Italian-American household, there has to be food is always number
Correct.
One.
We started out, we lived in Bensonhurst in Brooklyn, and we lived in my grandparents' house. They had a three-family home in the basement. You know, that's where we had all our parties. Like, you know, it was a great time. We grew up there. My aunt was our age. It was a great time. All the cousins came over and all that. And then we moved over to Staten Island and became our house. Our house became the place. And then we went to my uncle's houses and stuff like that. So it was a great time.
So when did you leave Brooklyn to come to Staten Island?
Oh, 1970.
And then when did you open up the Alfonso's?
1970.
Oh, so the same
the
same year?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So until then, your dad was still working in the city?
Correct.
So when did you realize that you wanted to follow in your father's footsteps and take over the pastry shop?
I worked in the pastry shop my whole life, so it was like more, I knew nothing else. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like it was easier just to go into the business that I knew.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
Like instead of like trying to go to school, trying to get a job, this was like the easiest thing for me.
But you also grew up in it.
Correct.
So it wasn't something that you just kind of watched from the outside.
No, we lived it. Our whole lives.
So one of your specialties is designing custom cakes.
Correct.
That's a big thing nowadays. And so what goes into creating such a work of art?
Well, we deal with the customer as an individual and find out what they like and what the person's part, you know, who's the party for. And we'll find out their interest and all that, and we'll base the cake on that. And a lot of cakes now, like, it's tearing from fondant to buttercream, back to buttercream, like it used to be years ago. You know, years ago, it was always buttercream, and then it went to fondant, so now it's going to buttercream again.
What is fondant?
Fondant is like a gummy Sort of like a marshmallow-based product, and it just goes on the outside of the cake, and it gives it a perfect finish.
Oh, so that's so, and then that becomes your, I guess, your canvas.
That's my canvas, correct?
To create art. Or to add to that,
correct?
And then buttercream is what holds it.
Buttercream holds it together, and then we cover the outside of cakes now with buttercream also.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like the wedding cakes and all that. It's okay. Mostly buttercream cakes.
And then, so if somebody wants whatever they want, you could pretty much.
Yeah.
Design.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are some of the most, I guess, crazy cakes that you've had to...
We do... there's so many. You know, like if a gentleman's turning like 50, 60, 70, like we get into the cigar theme, some alcohol. We're doing bottles of alcohol, a lot of bottles of alcohol.
So you're actually making a bottle of
alcohol? Yeah, we make a replica. We just did a 30th birthday for Johnny Walker Blue. We just made the exact replica of a bottle, and we put it on top of the cake.
And you can actually eat these cakes?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
You're almost afraid to, like, cut
correct.
Into them.
When we do like the bottles and stuff, they're usually like a Rice Krispie treat, and then that's the form to make it light and stuff like that. And then we cover it, and then underneath there'll be a cake.
Okay, so the mold is the Rice Krispie.
Correct.
On top of, inside of that would be the cake.
Yes.
But on top of all of that is the fondant, the buttercream. Okay. So, because just as you see it, you see this stuff on TV, and it's hard to understand the work that goes into it.
Yeah,
I mean, it isn't like it takes 2 minutes to put together.
No. A bottle takes about an hour and a half to make.
Wow.
Just a bottle without the cake. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
It is a work of art.
Correct.
It isn't like, you know, again, like I said, it isn't something that you just throw in together. Taking time to even research.
Correct.
How you're going to make it.
Now we have an advantage. We have copy machines that actually produce the paper. It's a rice paper, and it goes with food coloring. So instead of using regular print, And ink, it uses food coloring. So it comes out exactly like the picture. So we have an advantage instead of doing it by hand.
Obviously, it's a pastry shop. So
Kind
of talk to us a little bit about what are some of your popular pastries.
Sure. Of course, cannolis are number one. Mm-hmm. Napoleon's, egg glaze cream puffs. And, we do fruit tarts, brum baba, the butterfly pastry, all the classics. We do them all.
The American palate has changed so much over the last 50 years. Do you find that more people nowadays are looking for authentic Italian food experiences?
Yes.
So kind of like bringing in the more of the traditional Italian pastries.
Correct. Like around the holidays, we'll make the Casadini, the little baby Casada for the Sicilians. Mm-hmm. You know, so like we'll do, and we try so many different products, like with the hip things, and they just come to us for what we're made for.
For the
50
for the,
years, yeah. Like somebody will come in for the same banana cream pie. He's been coming in for 25 years, and that's
they
how
want
it
the
is.
Classics.
Yeah.
They want
the
classics.
Totally. Yeah.
And besides your delicious pastries, you're also baking bread.
Yes.
So both methods, both pastry and bread breaking, are scientific in their precise weights and measures. Do you find one more difficult than the other?
Pastry is a little more in depth because it's not just like a bread you're fermenting and, you know, it's rising and then you're proofing and baking. Pastry, it's layers. It's, you know, the cake itself, the mousse itself, the filling, the topping. You know, so it's a little more in detail than bread baking.
Okay.
Not that one's easier than the other. It's just it's a little more in detail.
And do you is there one that you prefer? Do you prefer?
I like them both.
You like them both?
Yeah.
So what goes into baking bread?
Bread we try to use. We use a natural starter, opposed to like a sponge base or anything like that. And the proofing time is key. Every step is a key element. You rush the product, it will never come out right.
So that's the key for any kind of, especially a pastry baking. You need to be precise.
Everything's precise.
You can't rush into it. Rush into it, it's not going to taste.
It's not like cooking. You can add a little of this. It's over.
Baking is very unforgiving.
Correct.
If you screw up, you're throwing everything
you're
out
done.
And you're starting from scratch.
Correct.
But you're right. At least with cooking, you can add a little bit of salt, a little more oil, a little wine.
You can definitely doctor it up. Not this business.
So what separates Alfonso's from other pastry shops?
We really stick with the classics, and we've been 50 years strong, and that's our claim to fame. We're here for the long haul.
Yeah.
We're here for another 50 years also.
So, I mean, we're here. It's a Saturday morning. The place is packed. It's a testament to what you're doing.
Thank you.
So recently you've added sandwiches.
To
your Victory Boulevard location.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about why you decided to add these savory offerings?
Yeah. We had a cafe years ago next door. It's a taco place now, but before that we had a cafe. So we sold it, and then the gentleman across the street opened it, and he went out of business. So everybody kept asking me, start making the sandwiches again, start making the sandwiches again. So then we started again.
Okay. Yeah. So what are some of the sandwiches that you guys are making?
We do classics. We do veal parmesan, meatball. We'll do grilled chicken with peppers, onions, balsamic vinegar. We do specials every week. Like now it's Lent, so we do a grilled eggplant and...
So again, you are sticking to the basics. But you're putting your all into
correct.
It.
Correct.
So
bread.
It is. So that
yeah, it's the cake, right?
That's a, yeah. You usually the bread is the cake.
Yeah,
I mean,
correct.
You need to have that good foundation.
That's the vehicle. Whatever you put inside of it, it doesn't matter. I mean, peanut butter and jelly makes a great sandwich.
So the other interesting thing about Alfonso's Pastry Shop is that there's a famous scene in a movie that came out in 1983. Called Easy Money. Well, it's one of the movie is hilarious. It stars Rodney Dangerfield and Joe Pesci. And there's a scene where it's his daughter's wedding, and he has to pick up the cake.
Correct.
So he's coming outside of Alfonso's, and he's like knocking people over.
Correct.
Oh, they're trying to balance the cake. And so, first of all, did you see that scene filmed? And if you did, what was it like to be here for it?
I wasn't here. My mother made me go to school. I was in high school. She made me go to school, My whole life, I was like, "You got to be kidding me!" So it was an interesting thing. But I was here with my dad. And he was preparing the cakes for the scene. They took like four or five dummies, and then like four actual cakes because they were supposed to. If you remember the scene, they had the van with the plumbing on.
Yeah.
This cake was supposed to come out of the spout of the plumbing fixture, but it never worked out. But
really,
yeah.
I think even when he sticks it inside the back of the, he goes, I have a wedge next to the toilet bowl.
And Joe Pesci and Rodney Dangerfield, these guys, that was not acting. This was their persona. They met them at the restaurants afterwards, and this is how they are. They were clowns. It was amazing. It was an amazing thing.
Because I think that the scene that follows it, they're trying to find a place to eat.
Correct.
And they go to the diner.
Yes, the 23-hour diner.
But then they wind up being the cake. I mean, really, just but that movie. I mean, it's one of those movies that if you know about it, you know
correct.
About it. But
correct.
Some people, you say Easy Money, they're like, wow, Easy Money. I haven't even heard this movie.
That's correct.
It is. What was his name? Monte Capoletti, right?
Yes.
Hilarious movie. And the other interesting thing, I don't know if you, when they do the outside shot of the pastry shop, it says pastry shop in Scungili.
Yeah.
So is there a story behind
not
that?
Not at all. That was their their thing for the movie, and they replaced our sign with that sign, and the guy selling fish in front of a bakery. How could that be? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Two totally different things.
Exactly.
Scungili.
Exactly.
Are you a fan of Scungili?
Not at all.
Oh, I love I could eat Scungili morning, noon, and night.
Excellent.
Oh, that's awesome. So why do you think people are so in love with Italian cuisine?
I think Italian cuisine is simple. It's really not manufactured like French foods and stuff like that. It's a real simple cooking. And I think that's the key. I don't think you eat, it's just basic stuff.
Mm-hmm. So outside of baking, what is your favorite thing to cook? Do you cook out? You know,
I do all for the sandwiches. I do all the eggplant parmesan, all the frying, the chicken gutlets, everything.
Oh wow!
Yeah. But so I do all the prep work and everything.
But is there like something that you say? Okay, so it's your day off. You're home. You want to throw something together. What would you cook?
I'm a barbecue guy also. So
yeah.
Yeah, I'll do meats on the barbecue all the time. I love pastas, so you know. Sky's the limit with us, you know. I love it. Yeah.
And again, pasta is another kind of almost like bread in
yes.
a way. It's a vehicle for a sauce.
Correct.
Really, I mean, I love my pastries. I love my pasta.
I'm with you.
So we in front of us we have a tray of some goodies here. So can you kind of tell us? Well, I mean, I know this is podcasting and radio, so you really can't see it. But can you kind of just tell us a little bit about what you brought out here and what and stuff that you make?
Definitely. I'll start off with the cannolis. We have vanilla and chocolate. The cannoli shells we make ourselves. Mostly everybody buys them. We still make them.
Actually, I want to stop you there.
Yeah.
So what goes into making a cannoli shell?
Cannoli shell, the dough is made the day before. It's a hard dough. It's got to go through a dough breaker. We use burgundy wine still in it and everything. Like other guys use vinegar, but we use
wine.
Wait
a second. People put vinegar in
correct.
There?
Correct. Yeah, to make it cheaper. Yeah. We don't skip.
Because I always thought it was some kind of liquor, like a Marsala.
Yeah, to make the bubbles. You need the liquor to make the bubbles in the shell.
Really?
So we use burgundy wine. Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So What else goes into the shell then?
Just basic flour. Mm-hmm. It's sugar. It's a little honey, a little shortening, and the wine.
And you're, it's not a raised dough.
No, the fryer does all the action with the liquor.
That's what gives it the
little bubbles and everything. So, and then of course the cannoli. We use impastato cannoli cream, and then we also have rainbow cookies. Almond paste.
Traditional.
Yeah, we use an apricot. We never. Some guys use raspberry. We always used apricot.
Is that more of a traditional thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Than the raspberry.
Huh.
Yeah.
Actually, the apricot, I guess, doesn't give that. Well, because the raspberry is more.
You see that line. Yeah.
This looks like the tricolore.
It complements the almond more than the raspberry.
Why is that?
It's just when you palate, the raspberry will overtake the almond.
Huh. I never realized that. Yeah. So this is a better melding of the
The
flavors.
Yes. We think so.
Yeah. And you guys are the experts. So I see this one.
Okay,
interesting.
We have a rainbow donut.
Okay.
So it's like a rainbow cookie, but it's a donut mix. We fry them. That has a raspberry inside.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a different vehicle than the cookie. And it's dipped in chocolate and everything. It's really good. Also, we have a rainbow crumb. So it's like a play on crumb bun.
Yeah.
So we put it on a rainbow cookie. And that has raspberry in it also, for the crumb. It'll knock down the crumb a little.
But also, I think when you just want to have the cookie itself, I think you're right, though. You just need to have the flavor has to, whereas if it's a donut, a jelly kind of makes
sense. Yeah, you got a lot going on. So, and it's a little on the lighter side as opposed to that. That's more, it's more of a cake than the cookie. The cookie's really dense. It's a dense cookie because it's all almond.
So when you're frying when you're making the donut base, is it with the almond or no?
We used almond flavor.
Okay.
Yeah, because so you put the almond,
you won't be able to
the almond paste,
fry.
And it'll burn. It burns. Yeah, so we use an almond flavor, and the rainbow crumb is a little almond flavor and almond paste, and also, but it's lighter like a cake.
And you're baking that.
Yes,
that's being baked.
Yes, okay. Correct.
And we also, I know this is kind of the season for San Giuseppe,
Saint
Joseph.
Correct.
So I see here we have a zeppole and we have a sphinx, right? So
correct.
What is the difference between a zeppole and a sphinx?
Well, the zeppole is with custard cream.
Okay.
And then the sphinx is the classic cannoli cream.
Which is more Sicilian, right?
Correct. More, Zeppoli is more of a popular, and they go 3-1. We sell 3 Zeppoli to 1 sphinx.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think that people just don't understand what the sphinx is?
I think because the sphinx is really great, but the custard cream is...
Yeah. So what is, for those that don't know, what is custard cream?
Custard cream is an egg-based... filling.
Okay.
Yeah. You just boil your milk, you put your sugar
in. So kind of like a zabaglione?
A heavier, a little cornstarch in there, and then you let it cool down, and then you beat it up, and you add a little buttercream to it, and you got custard cream.
It's everything
nice
looks...
Nice and creamy, yeah.
Looks, so, and also, I'm looking at the counter here,
yes.
So you have some awesome-looking pies, I got to tell you. So what are some of the pies that you pies and cakes that you have
here? Okay, yeah, like we have our classic banana and chocolate cream pie, and then now the holidays are coming, so we have pastita di grano. We have pizza rustica slices also for the meat lovers, and strawberry shortcake. The cannoli layer is a big seller.
Mm.
Big seller. The layer cakes, your vanilla chocolate blackout, cheesecakes. We make basic marble, vanilla, strawberry. We make a brownie cheesecake, fruit top cheesecakes, and then the mousses, of course, the tiramisu, the black forest, the cappuccino, the rainbow cake,
the whole nine yards.
Yeah, and then, of course, the butter cookies. And then we go to the American line, and then we have marble cakes, we have pies, the marble cakes, the dream cakes, we have marble, we have chocolate, we have.
So you're really reaching out to both the
American line,
palate,
yes,
and the Italian
correct,
palate.
Correct. When we started, this neighborhood was mostly American. It was mostly American, so like...
Oh, so this wasn't really like an
no,
Italian...
No, not at all. When we were on Manor Road, it was a lot of Italians, but when we moved down here, it was a mix.
Okay.
So now it's even more of a mix.
Okay.
It really is, because, to change in the neighborhoods and everything, so,
So how have you seen Staten Island change throughout the years?
Amazing.
Yeah?
It's totally amazing. The culture itself has changed. We used to do a lot of Italian but now it's all mixed. It's really mixed. You sit here all day, and it's everybody, and it's great. It's the neighborhood that's still been coming to us, still come to us now.
Yeah, yeah. So now you also have other locations in the tri-state area, in the New York, New Jersey area. So where are some of the other places that people can visit Alfonso's?
Yeah, my other store is on in Red Bank, New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah, and then my brother has a store on Eltingville on Amboy Road.
So in Staten
Island, we split the island up. You know, so it's nice. Yeah, we take care of the whole Staten Island.
So how do you find that people, do people who have moved out to the burbs, Jersey, do you find that they still want that taste of a home?
Yes. When I'm at my Red Bank store, I spend most of the time talking to my old customers that moved away 20, 25 years ago and say, well, I can't believe it. And, you know, it's beautiful. It's a great thing.
That's awesome.
Great thing.
So how long have you been in Red Bank?
We're there. It's a little over a year.
Okay. So what is the street?
It's on Broad Street.
Broad Street. Okay. That's the main drag.
Yeah, it's a main,
I think isn't it close to the church? There's a church. The church there? Right? Isn't there a church
right
close?
Next to us.
Yep. I'm kind of a little familiar
it's
with that
restaurant
area.
Row.
I know there's so many
35 restaurants and one little block. It's
really,
amazing.
Red Bank
amazing.
Has like
it's amazing.
Boom.
Yeah.
There's so many great places.
Yes. It's coming back.
Are you? Do you live on Staten Island? Then?
No, I live in Manalpin.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, Manalpin's another place with
correct.
A lot of Italians.
Yes,
a lot of Italians are in Manalpin. I know my wife has cousins down in Manalpin, so it's amazing. It's like people kind of started out in Brooklyn, and you went to Staten Island, and you went to Manalpin.
Keep going over the bridges. Over the bridges.
I think even the famous comedian, Vic DiBenedetto.
Yeah.
I think he's in Manalpin now,
somewhere
in English Town, or somewhere in that area. His stuff is hilarious.
He's a funny guy.
I'm always cracking
funny
up.
Guy.
So what advice would you give to a young baker, pastry chef coming up in the business today? I think that's important to kind of know.
Yeah.
It's a hard business.
It's a hard business. And to get young people to come into this business is tough.
Mm-hmm.
I would say as long as you have a good background, a family background that you could and you have family behind you, because my daughters all work for me. My three daughters.
So this is a true family affair.
Yeah, one of my daughters runs the front. My daughter does the specialty cakes in the back, and my other daughter runs my Red Bank store.
Oh wow, I think that's important.
And I met my wife. She was working for me, like my dad. Same thing. We don't leave much.
But that's that. But she was working in Staten.
In
his store.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah.
That really is wild. So any other kind of advice that you could give them?
Yeah. Their craft would be their imagination. You could always go to school. You learn it. But the best thing to learn is get an apprenticeship, go into a bakery, don't ask for money, come in, tell the guy you want to learn, and he's going to teach you everything. Because it's the real way to learn.
Yeah. Is that
hands-on
experience?
Hands-on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So I always like to ask my guest this question. I think it's important too, because being Italian American, our legacy is so important to us. What we're going to give to our kids and to our kids' kids, and as the generations go on. So, what do you want your legacy to be?
I want in 50 years to be a 100-year anniversary, and then I'd be so happy.
That's a beautiful legacy.
Yeah, because I'm sure my dad right now is looking at me going, "Wow, 50 years." You know?
So what does he, is he still involved?
No, he retired.
Yeah,
he retired. This business beat you up. It's not like.
So how long? So you've really been here your whole life.
Though. I'm here 35 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Working full time.
Full time. Yeah.
35 years. That's
that's a pension into
him. So I'm sure you have some amazing stories.
Yes,
throughout
I
those.
Do.
So before we finish up this conversation, any kind of stories you could share with us?
Crazy things. Every day is an
adventure.
I'll go home and my wife will go, "How was your day?" And I was like, "You don't even want to know."
So there's never a dull moment.
Moment. You got trucks on the road. You got workers. The excuses for work. This is life. It's a great thing. It really is.
But I got to tell you, you have a smile on your face. That to me explains everything about you. Is that you're happy to do what you're doing? It's a job, yes, but you seem to be so happy in what you're doing.
That's exact. I know nothing else, and I wouldn't even know what to do if I didn't have this. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know where to start.
That's beautiful.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
So before we finish up this interview, I want to talk a little bit about social media. I know you're very active on Instagram and Facebook. So how could people find Alfonso's?
We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. My kids really handle all that stuff. It's great. They're savvy with everything. We get a lot of likes every day. We get our orders through that. The specialty cakes, showing our products for the holidays. It's a great vehicle for everybody to just pick up their phone, take a look at their phone, see what's going on, see what we have on the special of the day, from the baked products to the sandwiches, because we change our sandwiches. We have a special, you know, every day. Mm-hmm. And it's a great thing.
So what are your hours here?
Today, we are from Tuesday to Saturday from 7 to 7.
Okay.
We open at 6:30. But and wow. Sunday, 7 to 6.
Okay. And so this episode is going to air on Easter Sunday. So
correct.
People could come and visit you,
yes,
today, right?
I mean, yeah.
On Easter Sunday. So what are your hours?
Easter Sunday, we're open from 7 to 3.
And so you mentioned a couple of things you can make for Easter. So let's just talk a little bit about what else do you make for Easter?
The classics are pastel de grano, which is the grain pie, the pizza rusca, which is the meat pie. We make egg bread. It's the sweet dough.
Yes, yes.
And then has the eggs in it, cooked into it. Oh, we make egg cakes, slam cakes.
So. Do you do any marzipan work?
We don't do marzipan. It's not the neighborhood for marzipan. We tried for years, and as the years went on, we sold less and less.
So this doesn't make sense.
That's
a lot of work, too. That's
correct.
A lot of work.
Correct.
So, Anthony, I want to thank you so very much for taking time out of your day-to-day to kind of talk to us about Alfonso's Pastry Shop. This is great. We had a lot of fun with you.
Thank you.
So, again, I want to thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on smiling, and keep on making this amazing product, because this is the place to go when you're on Staten Island.
Thank you.
Gotta come visit Alfonso's Pastry Shop. Again, I am Anthony Sciglia, better known as Tony Mangia. I want to thank you for tuning in today. I want to thank Anthony for opening his doors for us at Alfonso's Pastry Shop, 1899 Victory Boulevard in Staten Island, New York. Check him out online, www.alfonsospastries.com. That's ALFONSOSPASTRIES.com. Or you could probably just find him on Google and you know, obviously social media. So again, I want to thank Anthony. Thank you for tuning in. Happy Easter. We'll see you next time. Ciao for now.
At the Table with Tony would like to thank its sponsors: Rocco Muriale, Rob Quick, Joseph Cirillo, Raymond Guarini, Tom Gilmore, Oli G, Peter Ziza, Brian McGuire, Peter Ferreira, Rich Ottenstrauer, Anna Mavrianos, Antonio Pepinella, Anthony Ferraro, Sandra and Bob LaMotta, Mike Guerro, the Italian Enclaves Historical Society,